Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Orange Chair Podcast. Today in the Orange Chair, we have two special guests, Sam Witten and Anna Twomey. They are here to talk about how RPA can help within the revenue cycle. Can you guys, introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Hi, Alex. Yeah, I'm Sam Witten. I am the director of sales for RPA within Keymark. I've been with Keymark since March of this year. Before that, I had the pleasure of working with Anna at Blue Prism for 3 years. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you, Sam. And I'm Anna Twomey. I'm the Senior Systems Advisor for Healthcare in North America, and I work for Blue Prism. And as Sam said, we've been working together for a while on all of healthcare, and it's been a joyful ride working with RPA and helping to develop out the revenue cycle.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us today to talk about the revenue cycle. So that being said, can you give us an overview of what the revenue cycle is from a healthcare perspective?
Yes, Alex, then thank you. From looking at healthcare in general, everything is more centered around the patient. Patient satisfaction, patient security, and overall outcomes on patient care. But one of the key factors of that, of course, is your revenue cycle, because everyone needs to make sure that their claims are paid and their bills are paid at the end of the day. That's only one other worry. If you're worried about your health already, you don't want to have to worry about that piece. And for years, the revenue cycle and claims management process has been a big obstacle in healthcare of making sure that the patient still has a satisfactory outcome from the financial side, as well as from the healthcare and patient-centered health side. So we've taken a new look at not only patient access to their data and to their billing, and to being able to be, for them to receive updates on a regular basis that says your claims have been submitted, your claims have been paid. But that is something that RPA can take on. You know, a digital worker can not only automate the revenue cycle process, they can keep the patient up to date. It's just like if you were to purchase auto insurance and then you had an auto accident claim and you had to submit your information there, you usually get generalized updates that says your claim has been submitted and your payment should be made within a certain length of time and how much the patient responsibility would be, right? So we've taken that approach to looking at patient access of information. Not only from the time that you're scheduling your appointment, which a digital worker can schedule appointments now off of any EMR. So that's like one of the first steps in revenue cycle, is to ensure that there is communication with the patient at the time of setting up the appointment. We've set your appointment. Now we're going to check your eligibility. Checking their eligibility of benefits with the payer organization used to be a very time-consuming process where people within the doctor's office would sit there for hours trying to verify eligibility of benefits for a single patient that had a scheduled visit for tomorrow. And I think that Sam is going to talk about this a little bit, but that one key piece of information that we were able to set up in a process that a digital worker can automate on a daily process by pulling, all of the next day's patients, contacting the insurance provider, verifying eligibility of benefits, and then supplying communication back to the patient that says, we have verified your eligibility and, we'll see you at 1 o'clock tomorrow. This is your copay that is anticipated. That is a huge task just at the initiation of the revenue cycle that was able to be implemented in many of our locations by a digital worker. Sam, do you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, Anna, that's a great point. And some of the things that we're looking at Keymark and working with Blue Prism and working with Anna, we've kind of determined they're working with what is called the EMR system, which is the system of record for healthcare. You have a couple of different vendors out there, one of them being Epic, which is the big boy in the market. And so what we've thought about doing is, or what we're doing right now, is actually working with some of our clients now that are on the Epic system to do three basic things within RPA. One of them being, as Anna just talked about, verifying the eligibility of benefits, where a digital worker, as she talked about, would log in and log into the schedule for the next day appointments. And then log into the payer channel to verify eligibility of the benefits and pull back the benefit statements. And then update the EMR system, send out an SMS or a text confirmation to the patient, and attach benefit statements to the patient chart in the actual system of record, which would be Epic. Some of the others that we're looking at are electronic order entry and also claims reconciliation process within those EMR systems. So we're looking to work with some of our clients that right now we're talking with them about doing this for them against the Epic system, because we feel once we've created those, we'll be able to go out and help other providers out there to do these processes on an automation basis.
So how can RPA, you know, help within the revenue cycle? What are some specific use cases that you guys see that are maybe farther into that cycle, not necessarily just at the beginning, because you talked about that earlier?
You know, Alex, there are a lot of use cases, and I talk about this often, and so I probably go on and on so much. But all throughout the healthcare life cycle, from beginning to end, revenue cycle is kind of intermittent throughout each one of those phases. But it is one of the easiest handoffs to a digital worker because it is set up on a process. Things such as we talked about eligibility, next there would be something like, okay, the doctor has recommended a procedure now, and that procedure has to have an authorization from another source or from the insurance company. Without it, then your revenue cycle is again at a stop. So one of the key things, and Sam mentioned in Epic, and then as Cerner as well, some of the other EMR record systems that are of record, all of them require the use of either a referral from a physician to go to another physician for a doctor's visit, and the referral has to be in play before the claim can be submitted, a pre-authorization on a procedure that has to take place before the hospital can be, or from before the patient could be entered into the hospital to have a surgical procedure done. There has to be a pre-authorization, and many times that's a step that is missed by humans. As this is set up in the revenue cycle from piece to piece to piece, that is just three separate processes that a digital worker can handle. So a doctor is seeing a patient. He says, you know, I think I need to send you into the hospital. You need to have a surgical procedure done on this, and it needs to happen right away. Well, that can kick off a process by a digital worker for them to go ahead and ask for a pre-authorization. So it sends out to, again, the insurance company or the payer organization and requests that a document be sent back and update the patient record that says this has been pre-authorized, so that before services are performed, there's already been an authorization process. So pre-authorization submissions is a use case that we see very often. Of course, there's the denials management, because if any of these steps get missed, or the improper CPT code for procedure code, or the improper ICD-9 code, or the improper diagnosis code appears on the claim, that results in different types of denials. But because it's all just a step-by-step process that has been widely defined over a period of time, we can take that process and give it to a digital worker, and they can repeat those processes, checking the claims, scrubbing the claims, and ensuring that all of the charges and the charge reconciliations are appropriate, as well as being able to send that on through to into the claims processing lifecycle. And then if it is denied, it can come back. We have one process, for example, that opens Epic. It checks to find out what the denial codes were after payments come back for posting, and all of them have been posted for the day. If there were any denials, they show up with a denial code. One by one, the digital worker pulls that patient record and pulls that claim and does a comparative analysis. Why was this claim denied, and what needs to be fixed to eradicate that claim or to adjudicate that claim? So at that point, they, you know, work each denial and either write it to patient responsibility, take off the claims adjustment within EMR. So you'll see digital workers working in the system just as a human would, actively working those viable use cases. So I would say that, you know, another example is not only the claims processing, but claims imaging research. So if there were additional x-rays or radiology exams that were taken, that may need to be attached to a claim in order for payment to be submitted and it to be properly paid. So that's another task that could be handed to a digital worker. And that's just to name five or six different claims we have, or five or six different areas that affect the revenue cycle that are handled by the digital workers.
Yeah, and Alex, the ultimate goal here is, as Anna talked about a little bit in the beginning, is to make sure that, A, we're freeing up the physicians to do the things that they do best, and that's take care of the patient. But the second thing is to make sure to take the pressure off the patient to not have to worry about whether or not they've got the pre-auth to go in and see a specialist that the physician may have sent them to, and also that they're getting the correct bill when it gets there, and that their insurance company is paying the things that it needs to be paying. So with the flexibility of RPA within this this atmosphere and within this particular process of rev cycle, we're looking to help both sides out to make sure that they come together and can really get good service for the patient and the physician.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, in addition to those benefits, it also cuts down on a lot of that human error within the multi-step process of the revenue cycle, where there's the possibility that, you know, things can get marked wrong or not done or, you know, whatever that case may be. It sounds like it cuts down on a lot of that.
This is true, Alex. That is probably one of the biggest backlog reasons in revenue cycle, is that these are just little minor things that people are constantly coming up against with doing this on a daily basis. We sometimes forget to double check. A digital worker never forgets to double check their work. Or we get to moving so fast on the keyboard because we're 10 keying in so many different transactions in a single day that we may just, you know, miss a step or miss a decimal point, and that throws out the entire claim, and it comes back for reiteration again. Those are things that are eliminated from the revenue cycle and the entire life cycle of the claim during the RPA process.
Right. And that also goes hand in hand with what you were talking about too, Sam, with the integration with Epic, right? Those pre-authorization checks, the claims processing, like all of those things as well.
That's correct. Yeah. We, as I said, the ultimate goal here is to make sure that things are done in a timely manner. I mean, there are certain situations where the only thing that needs to happen is, a person needs to go into the EMR system and check a button. Well, that's missed. And guess what? Because that's missed, the claim gets denied or they don't get the pre-auth they need. So, you know, to have a digital worker go in and do that, it's always going to get done. It's never going to get missed. So that can reassure the doctor and reassure the patient that everything's getting taken care of on their behalf.
Okay, wonderful. Well, you know, as our time comes to a close today, do you guys have any final thoughts, like anything I didn't ask or anything that we discussed that you would like to elaborate on?
Well, you know, Alex, one last final thing that I'd like to say is, along with everything that Sam has said, the final outcome of everything is that we do a cost reduction in overall length of stays, or a cost reduction in the number of no-shows for appointments, because those are costly mistakes that add up in the end. And the outcomes for the facilities and for the healthcare organization as an overall arching included platform is to look at those various different outcomes and ensure that we have made every effort possible to increase efficiency in all areas and get those scores up or down for, you know, depending upon if you're decreasing your no-shows, then you want to make sure that you've got all of your authorizations and everything in place so that your patient is prepared to show up and pay their initial copay and move forward with their procedures. At the same time, reduction in cost of hospital standardization is another outcome or goal that we want to look at. And all of that leads to efficiency, and efficiency leads to RPA.
Absolutely, Anna. And, you know, as many things as Anna's talked about, there are many, many more of the processes within revenue cycle that can be automated. It's just a matter of allowing us to come in and see the process that you're running, see how you're doing it today, and we can match that with a digital worker and build out that process for you. So any of your listeners that are listening today that are interested in talking with us about this, please feel free to get in touch with us.
Well, thank you both so much for our discussion today. Thank you for coming and talking through the revenue cycle with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
Well, that's all that we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. The Orange Tier Podcast is brought to you by Keymark. If you liked this podcast, please leave us a rating, like, and subscribe to our podcast channels wherever you guys are listening to podcasts. And you can even follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you. This podcast is produced by Greg Aiken, Clay Tootin, and me, your host, Alex Frazier. Until next time, bye guys.